It's good to notice things. When you came in this morning, did you notice anything unusual? Something that comes to your mind right now when I say, what did you notice as you drove to worship this morning?
It was pouring rain. Yeah.
Pouring rain, yes, yes, I hear that. What else did you notice? Anything?
I made all those traffic lights.
Did you miss them or you had them?
I made them.
Oh, you made them, all right, good. Excellent, yes.
All the papers scattered were sold out of paper goods.
No kidding.
Most of
them. That's great, that's very impressive.
Yes, I went for them when I finally got something.
Oh, nice. All right, all the bakery shops were all sold out. All right. Well, good for the bakers, not so good for the customers. Yes, that are still hungry. What else? Anybody else notice anything?
Mariah's off her crutches.
Mariah's off her crutches. Yes, the first thing I noticed this morning is she greeted us outside. Yes, I teased her. I thought, you know, was she like faking last week? Because you were like on them 1 week and now you're off them this week. But it's definitely a wonderful blessing, right? When you need crutches one time and then the injury or the experience it just heals and now you're off. Yeah, good. That's a good one. Yes.
We've got a very good crowd here today. Over 50 and in the middle 30s when at 10:30 exactly.
Oh, nice. All right, then. Excellent. Thank you. Dave is our resident statistician. So he does like numbers an awful lot. That's good. Thank you for observing. Yes, we welcome lots of guests this morning. If you're new here to Cold Spring Church, well, I'm so glad that you're here today. I think I forgot to mention, if you'd like to fill in that red welcome card, you'll find that right in front of you. You can take a minute to do that now. And just give us your name and email address. It would be totally awesome. And also, if you have any prayer requests, we'll be sharing some prayer requests in a few moments. Fill in that green prayer card. And you can do that right now, too. And just hang on to that. And you can leave those cards in your pew as you leave today. We'll just come by and collect them and get you connected here at Cold Spring Church. There are lots of things to notice. There are things in the newspaper that we notice. There are things that in our own life that we notice. There are pains and anxieties and fears that we notice. There are joys and things that bring us delight also in our experience. So sometimes we read a great story about someone else and it lifts our spirit up. And other times we read, again, something about someone else and it's very sad. It's painful and we experience that pain as well. And if we went through life not noticing things, well, what would we be? We would just like be a closed book on a shelf. That we would never be open to experience the stories that God unfolds for us every day. So for us to notice things is important, and even more, as we see in our story today about Jesus, just noticing things is a huge first step, but then responding or doing something because we notice things is actually the key, and often the missing link. I can often notice something to do that I should do or not do that I shouldn't do, and just noticing that, it just doesn't change the thing. What changes the thing is actually why I did that. And so Jesus is all about that, reminds us all the time that it isn't our good intentions alone that matter alone. But good intentions are better than bad intentions. So the fact that we want to follow Jesus more is a totally first step, awesome first step. Because well, we could also choose not to follow Jesus. So the intention, though, the reason we have in our prayer of confession, we have it where, God, there are things that I've done that I haven't done. And there are things that I do that I just shouldn't do. But you're a God who reminds me that I am loved nevertheless. And with you, I am forgiven. But we must remember, sort of an ellipsis there, that there are also other people that are affected by what we do or don't do. So as James tells his readers, and the letter bears his name, that don't just say to someone who comes to you who is hungry, oh, just go be blessed and be fed, but don't feed them. What good does that do to them? Or if we say that everybody's welcome, but give the best seats to the people in the front, well, what does that say about everybody's welcome? And so we need to always make sure that our intentions are met with actions, and that's really the struggle. And in our prayer, it says that God gives us hope. But God gives us far more than hope. God gives us the Holy Spirit that helps us, empowers us actually to live differently. And that, again, is the struggle. Not just in the intention of following Jesus, doing good, being kind, being thoughtful, being generous, But it's actually in the doing. And that's why God's Spirit is such an important part of our life with Christ, because it's the Spirit that empowers. Well, in the experience today, we have a woman who for 18 years, it says, she's been affected by an illness that has kept her bent over. Now, we know today, my diagnosis is what? Just a common ailment of arthritis or some other sort of back injury, perhaps? But for 18 years to have endured this, we hear that a lot in the New Testament scriptures, that people, doctors around, did their very, very best, but they just couldn't deliver the right medicine, the right cure, the right effect. There was not the right therapy, the right diet, the right medication back in Jesus' time that might have brought that woman some relief from this debilitating back pain. And for 18 years, she suffered from it. And it's not incorrect to say that it was sort of a spirit of affliction, and that it's a spirit that sort of keeps you down, because, you know, when we don't feel good physically, it affects our mental health. It affects our spiritual health. And sometimes when we feel good spiritually and then to have some sort of physical ailment, that's always a challenge, right? God, I just know I'm going to have a great day today because I just feel like it. But boy, that ingrown toenail is just killing me. And so we have to struggle with reconciling these parts to our life, our spiritual life, our mental life, our physical life, that God cares about all of it. And so noticing things is important. And that's what happened here in this passage. Jesus is teaching on the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And just then, there was a woman with a spirit crippled for 18 years. She's bent over and unable to stand. And Jesus saw her. Let's think about those words. Jesus saw her. Out of all the people in the synagogue that day, we don't know how many. We don't know how many Jesus may have already known. We don't even know if Jesus saw her before in town, around the corner, at the market. We don't know. But the passage begins with Jesus teaching on the Sabbath day. And it says, when he saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." And the passage ended there, that's the miracle. You know, we often tend to, when God heals a physical concern in our life, a tangible thing. We need $100, God gives us $100. That's very tangible, we can understand that. But when we're feeling bad and then we feel good, you know, that's a tangible thing. We can kind of identify that. We can mark that off. I experienced this, now I experience this as a change. Thank you, God, for that. But this woman received a blessing. Jesus says, and her ailment was now dealt with right at the beginning, before he even reached out to touch her to heal her physical condition. She was spiritually uplifted when Jesus noticed her. "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." And she was still like this. And she must have been thinking, "Oh, really? I'm not thinking that's really correct right now." No. Jesus always knows that the burden of our heart, the burden of our spirit, the burden of our mind, the anxieties of the day, the concerns that we have, even for other people and for ourselves, that these things weigh heavy on our spirit. And Jesus, he notices. He notices a lot more than I notice. Be glad that I'm not him. Be glad that maybe that neighbor who never seems to notice the fact you bring his trash cans in up the driveway every trash day. Be thankful that when God notices, he notices you. And it isn't just a notice, but that woman was discovered by Jesus that day as someone with value. And we know that in Jesus' time, physical ailments essentially correlated to God's judgment. And I'm sure there were many exceptions. You know, I imagine if a really great, somebody that was well-loved in the community experienced some hardship, maybe they try to, well, it doesn't necessarily mean that God judged them, but generally that was the thought. Think about the story of Job. Job, all of his friends deserted him, not because they couldn't bear to look at his boils or didn't want to hear him complain, or especially his wife complain, about all the ailments that he was suffering. They didn't want to be associated with anybody that God judged so severely. It's like, don't stand next to somebody that got lightnings about to strike. Don't do that. Get away, run. And so in Job's experience, all the assessments of that incredibly long, long book are just groups of people after groups of people who come to tell Job, well, what is it you did? You're really an awful guy, and then leave. So they notice Job, but they did nothing for Job. They offered no consolation to Job. They had no hope for Job because God was judging them by getting God's way. And so this woman that walked like this all the time, and it was painful, that she may have come to that synagogue often, but she never would have been welcomed. She never would have been given a nice seat to sit in. And in the temple, she never could have gone into the temple. Because in the temple, they had stages of sort of closeness to the image of God there in the Holy of Holies. And all the Gentiles were out in an outer court, but the women were even beyond that. And certainly a woman with an affliction could never come into the temple. Because God doesn't judge you. What business do you have here? But here in the synagogue, it's a little less formal. It's out of the communities. But still, they would have had that rigid structure that anybody with an ailment, you stay out, you stay back, you stay in the shadows of the room that Jesus noticed her. And then on the heels of saying, I have healed your affliction, maybe she is beginning to sense, wow, Jesus noticed me? I haven't had anybody notice me for like 18 years. I've been suffering for 18 years. I've been coming to this synagogue for 18 years. And no one's ever noticed me. So guest preacher Jesus is on site. And the first thing he does is notice this woman who had a severe ailment. And then he laid his hands on her. Immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. What a wonderful story. I'm glad that the stories that we read about in this book, God's love letter to us, we call the Bible, I'm glad that so many of the stories don't stop where it might have stopped if someone else were writing it. Because that's a great story just right there, right? I mean, the woman was sick for many, many years. How many years?
18.
So we know sort of a lot about her, and it's a very painful thing. We don't know her name. But we know about her experience, and all of us have struggled with physical things from time to time. So we can imagine just the burden. And the fact that she was bent over, you know, in the New Testament, this word for bent over, describing that condition, it's the only time in the New Testament that's spoken of. The only time when someone is bent over. And this experience of being bent over is not just a physical thing. It can be anything that bends us over, anything that burdens us with a weight. But Jesus heals her. The story doesn't end there, and as the woman is being healed, the leader of the synagogue begins going around to everybody. You know what? Don't come here on Sabbath day to get healed. This doesn't happen on Sabbath day. We don't do that on Sabbath. So you have to come back during the week if you want to heal it. And he's just going around the crowd just saying, Jesus shouldn't have done this on the Sabbath. We don't heal people on the Sabbath. And of course, you and I are thinking, maybe more modern folks, we're thinking, well, what better day is there? What a great day. Sunday's a great day, our Sabbath. It was a wonderful day. But back in Jesus' time, the rules were so rigid that we wrote Sabbath almost so that it had no impact, no influence on the lives of people. So when people came to worship, they had absolutely no correlation to anything that happened during the week. It was just you go as a ritual. You go, you give your little offering, you bring your three pigeons, you listen to somebody talk for however long it was, and then you leave and go about your business. No life-changing experiences, no transformation, no energy, no spiritual uplifting. But you went to synagogue. Great, good job. And so this woman's experience every week has been the same. She comes broken, ignored, debilitated, and leaves broken, ignored, and debilitated. This is why so many of our neighbors don't come to church with you today. Because somewhere in their past, somewhere they've learned, somewhere they just observed, that going to church makes absolutely no difference in a person's life. How many times have you heard, well, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian? And that's absolutely true. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Oh, well, I don't go to church because, church is the golf course. That's where I go. That's great. I think if Jesus was around today, he played golf. And so we have this experience in our world today where the things that should bring a blessing don't. And it's almost as if the world is ignoring the fact that God doesn't want to ignore them. And that God actually can reach out to anybody, anywhere, all the time. And so the message that this presents isn't that you need to be in church on the Sabbath day, because, or need to be in worship on the Sabbath, because that's when God will bless you. No, the message is that God notices you wherever you are. And whether you're on the golf course or in a classroom or anywhere else, God notices you, but doesn't just stop with noticing you, although for many of us, that would just be enough to be noticed. But God also brings a special spiritual power that can heal physical ailments, heal mental ailments, spiritual concerns. God can do it all. But we have to recognize that God notices us. So that means we have to sort of first say, I am noticed by God. We have to believe that. We have to bring that into our spirit and just know that wherever our situation, our experience in life, wherever life has brought us to this point, this date, you write down that date, August 25th, 2019, this date, that God, for wherever you've been, wherever you're going, God notices you. And God notices you now. Could you say it out loud with me that God notices me? Can you say that? God notices me. But not only that, God also loves us. Could you say that with me? God loves me. But God also not only notices us and loves us, he empowers us to be different. And this is that sort of the rub in our prayer of confession between God, forgive us for our sins, thank you very much. But how do we, improve? How do we make it different? And that's where the power of the Holy Spirit is, because this woman was given a touch of God's Spirit that restored her body. But everybody in the room was transformed, because that crazy synagogue leader who thought God could only work on any other day, that on the Sabbath, don't even think about God healing anything, because God just wants us not to do any work. And so Jesus just sort of challenges it with a little anecdote. Oh, so I'm sure that if your ox needed to be taken out to water this morning, you just let him, die of thirst. No, you took your ox out, maybe 400 or 500 steps out to feed them water. Isn't that work? Jesus is asking. And if something has fallen into a gutter or a hole, or if you've lost something, wouldn't you exercise work, even if it's on the Sabbath day, to do it? Well, how much more a woman who, with this affliction, was set off. A lot of our ailments we don't notice. But this was sort of an obvious kind of ailment. And in that culture, they just said, God must hate her. Stay away from her. Oh my gosh, nothing but trouble. And yet Jesus, in his noticing, and brings God's Spirit into the room so that everybody now knows that, oh my gosh, I guess God wasn't judging her. I guess everybody has value. So an elderly woman, say, who is dismissed because of creepy memory loss, or a young person who is a little annoying sometimes because of all their energy all around us, or a visitor who comes in to worship and leaves before the end because they just don't feel welcomed enough. Or a young mother, or dad who nods off during the service, during someone's favorite hymn, because they had to work two shifts in order to provide for their family. Or how about someone who comes to worship and they struggle with an addiction of some kind, and it's so all-encompassing, so wearying. They've come for hope, but they're tired and worn out, and they need something. Cold Spring Presbyterian Church is here so that people like this from all walks of life will always find a place of welcome and healing and hope, that you don't come to church to leave the same. Some Sundays you may, some Sundays I may. That's okay. But if your general experience is going to worship and you leave just the same way as every other weekly experience, or if every day you wake and greet God in the morning and your day is never different because you don't pay attention to God in the afternoon, for example, well, what kind of day is that? And so Jesus is inviting us into the synagogue to know that what happens in the synagogue doesn't stay in the synagogue, but transforms our life, because all of those people must leave, and now they know that God notices them. The neighbor who struggles to find friends. This is the church for them. Cold Spring Presbyterian Church is here because it welcomes people. It doesn't just say it. We practice that. And we practice this for a lot of years. So we're actually getting good at it. And so the invitation that God has for us today is to ask us, you know, when you're feeling bent over, burdened, struggled, something that just wears you down, and if you could put that sort of metaphorically, you know, in a physical way, and you actually kind of live your day like this, just with the burdens on your back. And Jesus is here, and first of all, without changing anything, says, I notice you, and I am giving you peace. I am giving you hope. And we have to linger long enough to hear his next statement, which is, and I also will change you. I will bless you. I will make you new. But it doesn't just stop with us. When we have our burdens and we're feeling bent over, who is it this week we might notice that sort of lives their life, just even maybe just recently, a little bit bent over? What were the burden of age, or the burden of finance, or the burden of health, or the burden of relationships, or the burden of some other aspect of just living life? It's just bending them over. Who is it that we can reach out to just to remind them, you know, God notices this. God loves you. And God wants to make things new in your life. And that this promise isn't just for me or for you. Because at the end of the day, you know, the fact that we have great music doesn't matter. The fact that we try to have messages of God's word that can energize us, it doesn't matter. The fact that we have wonderful events and great people doesn't matter if it all stays in the room. That we've got to take it with us. And so your experience today in the synagogue, know that God loves you, notices you. God wants to make things new in your life. What parts of your life could be made new, just some little piece? And who will you notice this week that lives life a little bit over, that you can bring a word of hope and not just say the words, God notices you, but help them write themselves up? Let us pray.